God, I'm glad to meet you. I'm glad we got to work this out and finally figured out how to get to.
Yeah,
You should have told
likewise.
him about the microphones. I wanted to see him do the whole microphones for the rest of the
Right.
interview.
I definitely would. That's
I would
the
have been
case.
talking to
Yeah.
So the way this works is we're going to have a conversation. We'll just talk and a little about learn a little bit about you guys, talk whatever comes up. I don't really script these things. They kind of just fly by the seat of your pants. We just get to know each other and have conversation. And we will listen to your music, though. I will share the screen, and I've got your Spotify pulled up, so we'll listen to a couple of your songs. And since I'm a songwriter too, I like stories. I got a band I play. I like to hear the music and everything too. You guys got any questions for me?
No.
Okay, guys, I'm keeping a lot of this in for the recording. The guys that are listening, when you listen to this interview, they've been messing with the sound. We're trying to figure it out, and they have microphones in front of them because I don't ever do video, so they can't see this, but they're not working. And it sounds better to come from the camera. So when you guys can't see when they reach into the microphone and talk, and we just start laughing for no reason. That's why we're doing it. Hi, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbird, and we're here with a band from New Jersey called the Love Robots. Introduce yourself, guys.
So I'm John Vick, lead guitarist, audio amateur audio engineer.
Not working so well
Yeah,
too.
amateur, excuse me. Pardon me, yes. Yeah. Ringleader, I suppose.
There you go. That's I'm Will. I play bass and I also do a little backup vocals. Cool. I'm Ross. I play drums. That's about it.
I'm Charlie. I've got a microphone plugged into anything. I'm the lead singer and the rhythm guitarist.
So, guys, out of the four microphones, mine's the only one that's working.
It do work, I swear.
I had the same problem when I put in for, like I said, for whatever reason, this interface is so weird. If I don't turn the gain all the way up, it won't pick it up, and then I got to kind of slowly back it down. But when you bring in audio from here from Zoom, because I think it's more Zoom's problem than anything else. But when you bring it in from Zoom, and I put in a GarageBand to edit it down. Do you see the wavelengths? It's so different styles. It's either slow or really low or really high. And so it's kind of a mixture. So it's, trust me, I know this. I wish I could find a better way. I thought about Google Meet, that I've used it with one lady and it works better. But the problem is, it only lasts for so long unless you buy their subscription. And I've got too many subscriptions as it is. I don't want any more. Nickel and diming my ass to death. So how long you guys been together?
2 years, right?
2 years.
Say around 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Since like July 2021?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. It all started with a Musicians Wanted ad
On Facebook.
on Facebook. Yeah. Like a Facebook marketplace for musicians who never show up to practice, but these two did.
Yeah, we have a local group here in New Jersey, and I've met some other people outside of these guys on there as well, and it's you really do run into some interesting people through it.
Yes, you
But
do.
this time it actually worked out.
And
And
like literally too, like the day after, it was like Ross contacted us, and then by us, I mean Charlie and I, and then Will had contacted us like 2 days after that. We did, I think Charlie, what was it, like June maybe 2021? We did like that one weekend with Ross, and it was like, sounds good. And then one weekend with Will, sounds good. And then like literally like the next weekend, we were what we are now, the Love Robots. This is the start of it. It's pretty
now
cool.
that I love the name. I love band names. It's so funny. Mine is called Yes Ma'am, stands for middle-aged men. That's what the MAM will stand for, because we're all that age. But where did the love robots come from?
So
Charlie.
it's kind of a combination of a few things. I wrote a song called Love Your Robots, which was just like a little ditty that I wrote about an inventor who built a robot and then falls in love with it and becomes obsessed with it. And so like just that theme of like loving a robot kind of was at top of mind. And then we have a friend's band called Love Raptor. And I think subconsciously, somewhere between the two of them, they just kind of combined into the Love Robots. And when John and I came across that name, it stuck pretty quickly. I don't think there were really any other contenders for the name, but yeah, that's where it came from. Honestly, I think it originally came from what was that movie, the Battle Angel
Okay.
movie, like Alita or something like
Alita.
that.
Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where the original inspiration for the song Love Your Robots came from, and then take three hops, and then you ended up with the Love Robots, and that's where we got it.
It sounds like what's that movie, Ex Machina, like the...
Yeah.
Which my son had me watch that. I hated that movie. I got so invested in it. And then have you guys seen Ex Machina?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I'm about to spoil a little bit of it for you. But at the end of the movie pissed me off. I was so invested in the characters and everything during the movie. And then the end, the way it happened, I was mad. I was like, I don't want to watch this movie no more. It was stupid. I'll just leave it at that so I don't ruin it for everyone. Everybody else is going to tell you the story. It was like Old Yeller, right?
And one more thing I would say about the name is when Ross and I joined, the name was already established, so there wasn't really any room to change the name at that point. So it was the Love Robots, and we kind of knew that going into it.
Now, do you guys have any like electronical songs that you come out like when you say that? It makes me think of Revenge of the Nerds, where they're on the stage and they got the synthesizer going and all that.
This band is...
We're all nerds.
I was about to say, nerds.
There's just no revenge.
I was about to say, this band maybe is the revenge of these nerds, but it's not the revenge of the nerds.
Are you guys getting a play out around town?
Oh, yeah. So last Sunday, we just played Warwick Apple Fest up in Warwick, New York. It's like one of the top 10 like festival events like in North America. They have like 20,000, 30,000 attendees. Like, we were surprised how many people were there. It's a huge crowd. Wow, great crowd too. We always have like, especially outdoors, because we're like a loud band, like we have a lot of, especially in a place like that where the sound breathes all around us, like we get a real nice like outdoor sound too, so it's always just fun outside. We just played Rockwood Music Hall in downtown Manhattan the weekend prior to that, and we got some really nice video from that too. Actually put the whole show up on YouTube as well.
Yeah, we played in Brooklyn, New York. We played in Times Square, New York. We've made two appearances in Nashville, Tennessee. So we're getting close to you, Jesse.
One day. We're coming.
We're coming. And Pennsylvania, or not yet. Not yet.
Getting there. Actually, to that point, we noticed, what was it? What was that called? Consequence.net or something. Hometowns of Consequence. That's what it's called. And there were like four venues in the Northeast that were like nominated for like the top spot. And Crossroads is a local one here in Garwood, New Jersey, that we're actually going to play in November again for the third time. And Rockwood was on there too. And then I think there was Ardmore Music Hall.
Right.
I think was the one in Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with that one, Jesse? Ardmore Music Hall?
I am not. I've met a lot of people from Pennsylvania doing this, but I'm not as familiar with their side. I know here in Georgia, if you guys come to Georgia, there's a couple venues that would work for you. Mad Life and Woodstock is always one that works really well. Smith's Old Bar, they are big on for like rock bands and stuff like that. If you guys are loud, like say you're loud. The only thing I will tell you with Smith's Old Bar is when I took the band there, we went to watch another one, it's just to get out and have fun. Their sound guy was not the best. And I'm this room had to be maybe 1,000 square feet. It wasn't very big, but they had like different stages and different areas. So the one that I was in, I can't say for the rest of the rooms, but for the one I was in, he had turned it up so loud that when the girl was singing, it was squealing. And I mean, I literally came out of there, and I'm hard of hearing anyway, but I could not hear for 2 days. Everything was like, I was completely muffled and underwater. I'm like, dude, you need to back the sound off. They're one, as small as that little venue is, turn the drums off. You're going to hear them anyway. You don't really need to mic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. But
that's right. What's that sound guy? Was it Brooklyn Music Kitchen? We went in there. He's like sitting there with his iPad. And then at like some point, it seemed like he like must've gone out and like done like an eight ball.
He learned.
Cause he like came back in and he was like leaning over the iPad. Yep. He was like asleep. Like all the bands were going through, and he was like, you'd see him kind of like wake up for a second, like move him, dial up for a second. I don't know if you guys remember that guy. He wasn't doing shit.
He was an interesting guy for sure.
I mean, if you've ever seen Pan's Labyrinth, and like the thing is standing at like the end of the table, like not moving unless the girl grabs a grape. Like that was this guy. He was like a stage of stasis. And like he would only like awake for like seconds at a time to like do something and then return to his stasis mode.
So weird. Yep. So weird.
That's a hard thing. And See, with songwriters, it's different because you're basically you're on stage with you and a guitar. They don't really have a whole lot to mess with. Bands, I understand, because bands are, one, it's fun to be with a band because you're friends, you're buddies, you're having fun, you're drinking, you're playing, you're just having a good time. But it's so much harder to get the sound right for a band. So you can't really judge them live if the sound guy isn't very good.
Yep, exactly. We can see that even just listening back to this mix that we have from Rockwood. It's like, for me personally, when I listened to it, it was like hearing the band for the first time, honestly. Cause like listening to the cell phone video, it's like, I mean, that's practically what it sounds like to me with my earplugs in and the sound dampening I'm getting anyway from the room being so loud. It sounds like, oh yeah, okay, that's what we sounded like. But like listening to this, it was like, I don't know, for me at least, it was like kind of like, I don't know, seeing it for the first time. It's really cool. Kind of like when we get
when I played at Rockwood or Crossroads the first time when we actually had a sound guy.
Right. And even like when we get our mixes back from like our producer, it's the same kind of feeling, like hearing the song. It's like hearing it for the first time again.
And you're like, holy shit, I'm pretty good.
Yes.
It was a little much to hear myself in that much detail. It was like swapping out a normal mirror for like the pimple popping zoom in mirror or something like that. Like I saw more of myself than I needed to, I think.
See, but I do like that one because I know when you get bands are loud, you can't really hear the singer. So they're not. So when people are playing, all you hear is the music. So if you guys are in a groove and you're playing, the people are okay with it. But I'm a songwriter. I like the stories. I like to hear the songs. And I know that with rock, there's stories in there, but it's more poetic. It comes out poetic and it gets with the music. But if you can't hear it, like the Mad Life, I said earlier, we did a live. That was one of my bucket lists. I wanted to do a live song, live EP, whatever. And we won the contest there and pulled the sound because they gave us the free videos that they did. They had like five cameras recording at the same time and then the audio. And so they pulled the audio and you can actually hear it as live. It's like, that's what it should sound like. In my mind, I'm like, that's what I hope people hear when they're hearing us. Otherwise, because we know you're playing, you can't hardly hear anything with the monitors turned up and band and the drums, and you drummers are so damn loud, so it's hard to hear anything.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, they are.
That's like we cover a song by the Strokes, Reptilia, and everyone's like, what are they saying? Like, what is that? What are those lyrics? And the minute we played at Crossroads the first time, my wife goes to me and is like, is that really what those lyrics are? Like, that's what it's saying? So it's having a good sound guy definitely pays off.
Like, I mean, kind of going along too, what Ross is saying, like what you're saying, Jesse, it's like what I noticed too was funny. Go back to like our social media and like YouTube and whatnot. Like before we played Crossroads, we were playing like Breweries. This was whatever, last year, maybe like 2022, January to like July time frame, we're like really just getting our feet under us, like playing. Like, I mean, we started out in
I was running live sound mostly, and I'm not trained in that, so a lot of YouTube videos on our mixer and just trying to wing it.
It's so you're the one that was asleep, right?
No way.
No, I was very alert, except I just wasn't getting a good
he's actually quite good with it.
He was pretty good,
he is good. The Halloween party, too, did a great job there, too. But I was going to say, like, that's like after that point, people started actually listening to us. And I'd say that's when we really started to, we went from having like 20, 30, 100 followers on Instagram to like thousands now, almost 3,000 followers. And it's really like, I think partly that we're playing places where people can actually hear us. And then the videos we make and the content that we create from that, like people can then actually hear it. Right. Yeah. It's not just like some of those old videos, if you go back to them too and listen, you don't hear anything really. Trash. It's just,
I think we're playing at venues now that are set up for music. Like people go there to listen to music, where when we were first starting out, we're playing at a brewery and we're just kind of ruining someone's afternoon.
Ruining someone's beer.
So it's kind of a shift in where we've been playing out.
Yeah, because they always say, oh, turn it down. You know, you can't invite a band and ask them to turn it down. It doesn't work that way. I mean, again, like I said, with the drums, that's why, I don't know if you can see it behind me. Behind me, this is my studio that I'm building. Where's it at? There's a little electrical drum kit behind me. I bought that for a couple reasons. One, for my daughter, she's in music. She loves playing. But two, I did it because when we take the band out there for drums, I can hook that into a PA system, and they can adjust the sound. Or I can adjust it if I have to use my PA, and it's not overwhelmingly loud. I remember we played at a little thing in Marietta. It was a brewery, a little tap house. And they said, bands welcome. Well, after we played, they didn't let bands come back. It wasn't because we were bad. It was because we were loud. We had literally had to, the stage. I'm a big guy. Like there's three of you. We had to get me, my bassist, and the singer, Tom Allen, on the stage. And then the drummer was off to the side. We literally put him in front of a door. I know you, drummers probably get put in some of the weirdest places. We had to put him in front of a door off to the corner so that we could fit on stage. And I'm literally, we cannot move. If either one of us farted or sneezed, we'd bump into the other. It was that tight. So we're just playing. He's in the corner. But I remember the guy, he got so aggravated. Oh, you're drowning out the people. You got 100 people in here. You can't even hear us. The drummer's not even mic'd. So that's just some of the band stories that people, I love to hear from other people as well, because I know that's where some of the funniest stories come from.
Well, dude, what's the,
that's our running joke is, they turn to me and they're like, can you play softer? And I'm just like, no.
that's changed in like the last, like now, like to Will's point, like where we're playing, like they actually can, like, they bring us up where like he's, it's actually like, it's meeting him now at the, you can really hear that in the Rockwood video mix, I think, too. It's like you can actually hear like the instruments are meeting the drums, and you can really hear like the character of everything in the side, which is really nice. But I was gonna say a good drum story is the house kit at Claremont that barely was like put together. It had like drums were basically kind of like more or less just like sitting there. By the end of it, that thing was like all the hardware. It looked like a bus that like had fallen off like a cliff.
It's like a challenge. You're like, I wonder if I could send this thing away. Like, let's put her down, you know?
Like the bass pedal was like resting inside the kit, like where it had like punched through and got stuck on the drum. It was like still.
Actually, guys, if I can, Jesse, if I can just take a moment to tell you about our good friend Ross here. Okay. So we all have lives outside of the band, right? Like we all have full-time jobs and things. Ross has basically three jobs outside of the band. And outside of his white collar job, he is it captain?
Yeah.
Right? He's a captain at a fire department where he's running around in trucks all the time and saving people's lives. He's a trained EMT. And outside of that, he is a conductor on trains, like really old trains. So Ross is hiding
my spot right now.
Yeah, Ross is hiding his strength right now, Jesse, with that sweater that he's wearing. But you will rarely in your life meet somebody like Ross, who is just all muscle, like one of the hardest hitting drummers you've ever met. And he will easily do a drum roll like across all the heads and put a hole in each one of them if he's not careful.
In time, that's the important thing. He's not just smashing them, right? Like in time, like it's like, ow, 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 ow. Oh, that was good.
Jesse, John got us a gig playing in a hotel lobby.
Oh, yeah. The Asbury Hotel.
And the girl who booked us, she preferred that the drummer play with the, you know, the band of rods that are like
the hot rods.
Yeah. And so Ross went to Guitar Center on the way and he bought a pair and he played with them. And afterwards they were just in shreds, like the bamboo was peeling down.
And the guy behind us is like, can I borrow those? And I was like, sure. I have like different pieces. I'm like, here you go, buddy. Like, you try them back together. Yeah.
See, that's why when I play, I'm the same way. My wife calls me Mongo. I'll find a way to break something if I can. So when I play guitar, I get so into it, I play so hard. So I'll take a pick and instead of breaking my strings, I get those soft, really flimsy picks because I know I'm going to break it by the end of the night. I'll break three or four of them each song. So I'm the same way. I mean, it's not a drum, but what you guys need to do for Ross is switch him out one day when he's not looking, put some rubber toms on there so when he goes to hit him, it bounced back and hit him in the face. Had to teach him not to hit it so hard.
What is this?
To be honest, it may not.
Or give him some spoons. Give him the spoons and the pans.
It's a tough dude. It might not.
Yeah.
Ross, can you play with like spoons and pans? Have you ever tried?
Yeah. When I get bored at a restaurant, I'll just like start doing it. I love the sound of it like clinking together.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Work on the next song.
The people in the kitchen think there's a toddler at one of the tables. Toddler's really loud, banging with their spoons. No, it's a 30-year-old man.
But he's in time.
Yeah, he's in a rock band. It's okay.
Well, let's get to one of your guys' songs. We're gonna keep talking, but what song do you guys want to do first? I'm gonna share the screen and pull up your Spotify account. And I've got you up. So any song that's on that you have out, you just let me know which one you want to do.
Yeah, it's our Elevation's a pretty popular one at the moment.
Okay. So what's the story behind Elevation?
You know, I feel kind of put on the spot here. I don't
Welcome
know
to the Georgia really Songbirds.
Let me read us. Hold on.
I would say that I think most of our songs really do have some sort of inspiration, whether it's a place or a person or a life experience or something like that. But Elevation, I don't think really does have like any strong message behind it or any real story. The melody, I wrote the melody for the chorus driving to the airport, actually to fly out to meet John somewhere. And like the melody just stuck, and the chorus vocals say, "Don't let me down." So we thought it was funny to name the song Elevation, but that's probably like the deepest that you're going to get on the song. If you listen to a lot of the verse lyrics, they were really just kind of things that, you know, if you were doing kind of like auto writing, like words just coming to mind and they kind of rhythmically fit, it was just kind of like a hodgepodge of, you know, rhythmically syncopated phrases. Oh, sorry. I don't know if you guys can hear me. My head to the microphone again.
No, we can hear you. Don't begin to hear you.
Yes.
See, and it's funny how songs do that, because sometimes your least popular, in your opinion, song is coming to be one of the most popular songs that other people
yeah,
like.
That is
you never
exactly
know.
The story of the song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this was not like we pitched a lot of these songs to different playlists, and like we spent a lot of time like with the promotion of like the kind of second half of the songs we did like before we put the album out in March. Mm-hmm. And this was like one of the songs that we did that for. You know, it did fairly well, but it was like afterwards that it got added to these like huge playlists, and it went up from like 5,000 to 30,000 streams over the course of like 2 months. And it still gets a bunch of radio hits like because of that. But yeah, it's like a very bizarre for us to see that it's like our most popular song. Like we like it, but like as our most popular, it's definitely not what we would have predicted. I don't think any of us would.
No.
Yeah.
Something looks you in the eye. Caught you with another guy. From me to you, it's a catastrophe. Don't let me down.
I think Charlie, you just kind of muted yourself again.
There you go. Did. I've got a dog upstairs who like really, really wants to also be interviewed by you, Jesse, but like her language is way too blue and not appropriate for your listeners. So I periodically go on mute.
I guess I should leave.
you wouldn't be the only one. I'm building a studio and my mother-in-law is next door. She's got a dog that always barks, so I don't mind. Dogs on this show happen all the time. My kid, say I put it out here. Normally I would do like either if you come down to Georgia, I do it either in the studio or I do it up at the gazebo outside. Got a gazebo outside that we do live. But before I started building this, I would do it inside. And the kids, I have twins that are 14 now, but every time I would interview somebody, they'd come run across and try to get on and they'd try to be my my son was the worst because he'd come with his shirt off. I was like, son, come on now. You know, yeah, teenage boys are. What, Dad? I get my pumped in. Who's John? Who sings that? John, is that you sing, right?
Who no, sings? No, Charlie.
Charlie.
I sing.
You got a really good voice.
Thank you.
Like that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, to the point before about nonsense lyrics, if you heard the lyrics in the second verse, it's love my mom's blueberry pie. When I eat it, I do cry. Too much sugar makes you die. Like, yeah. There's no Neil Young that's knocking on my door to steal those lyrics.
It's funny you say that. I don't know if you guys can see. I always make notes, and on the notes is lyrics. One of the things is lyrics, because I was listening to that song. I'm like, is he talking about his mom's app? What the hell is he talking about? And I pulled up the lyrics. I'm like, you know what? But the fact that it's popular for you guys, I think it's because it's so. People, when you hear songs, what do you remember the most? You remember the hook, you remember the chorus, and it's three. It's what? Don't let me down. That's the whole chorus. It's people can sing it, people can remember it, and then the rest of it. If you guys sound good, which you guys do, Ross, I didn't hear you breaking anything in that one. They probably made you tone it down a little bit, right? It
we
sounded
went through some, three compression we went through three hits, compression hits for one song.
Where did you guys record that at?
Here actually, yeah.
Really? You guys did all the mixing and mastering yourselves?
Yeah. Actually, no, I could probably move the computer and show
the,
you a little bit.
The mastering. Who did the mastering?
Nick. Nick. So our friend Nick Giamma did all the mixing. Yeah. Okay. He actually moved to Nashville. So that's how we got the shows in Nashville. So our producer from up here when he moved down there. He actually helped us meet a bunch of bands. But so I'll try to do this real quick, but you can kind of see a little bit of the setup. So we got the drums back there. You got the amps back that way.
The amps are down.
Yeah, down in there. And then over here is where we've got all the recording equipment. That's everything's cool. Mounted. I actually bought a server chassis and like built an entire machine to do fiber optic recording so that we could do like, you know, record the highest quality tracks here and then have the pick of whoever we wanted to work with for producers. And there's really never an excuse then for a bad track because we can always redo it here for free.
Yeah.
And then it lets us record practice. And so we have like a Google Drive that we maintain for, you know, all of our practices and ideas and riffs. And it's a way for us to like kind of stay, I don't know, organized and, you know, rehearse. Like if we can't rehearse, you know, on a day like today, if we wanted to rehearse, at least we can, you know, we've all got that access to something like that, that we can practice with.
There you go. Well, and there's the capability right behind this whiteboard, Jesse, is a closet. That goes all the way back to that window there. And it's the perfect place to put a vocal isolation. And we just haven't gotten John's wife on board yet with that one.
We're blowing walls out.
I was about to say.
It needs to happen.
Yeah. That's a mixed thing too, because then I've also got all these, I've got so much crap in there that I've got to clean out. It's mostly that, but yeah. It's definitely my wife's.
I did an interview with a lady. She actually brought me on her podcast and she did it in the, in her closet. She was in her closet with her recording because of the, like you said, the acoustics. Usually it's bathrooms because you get the reverb and stuff, but the closet is very, it kind of keeps the sound muffled down. Like out here, when I get done building a studio, I can put the carpet, I'm building everything myself, so it's taking time. But what I plan on doing is what I want to do is when you come in, on the walls will be like plugins, and that's where you can plug in your instrument, and then I'll have like the lines fish through the wall and run into my PA, and then that way I can adjust it, we can play, and then I have like a little fireplace sit there with chairs to do like one-on-one podcast interviews, but otherwise to record and to get the music heard. But I want it so there's not many lines, because I'm I got so many damn, you guys know there's so many damn lines everywhere. I need it in one spot. And if I can keep them from being in the floor, then the guys come in, they just plug in their amp or they plug in their guitar or bass, whatever. And then we go to town.
Yeah. We have the full band practicing. All mics are set up. It's probably a fire hazard.
Yeah.
Honestly, you trip on that and you'd be tangled in a spider web of cables. So the drums are holding you down. The guitar is holding you down. The bass is holding you down.
I don't know who's definitely. At all of you. I see I'm the clumsiest of the whole band. So I'm, if I don't fall, then it's not a night. So who's the clumsiest in your guys' band?
Jesus, the clumsiest.
Mm, I think it varies on the day.
I would say I'm the most forgetful.
I think it's maybe
I'm
Will.
The most forgetful for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I leave things everywhere. Like so
you
many
made
times,
a list, man. Somebody, I did. You left the list.
I made a list and I lost it. It was a list of all the gear, cables, pedals, all the things that I would need. And every time I leave John's house, I end up coming back in because I forgot my car keys or my wallet's on the desk. It's just, that's just how I am.
And then, like you said, though, you made the list. And then I'll never forget one day he left. I came up here and his list, the list of stuff to remember to not forget. He forgot the list.
I've done that several times.
I don't know if that constitutes being clumsy, but definitely forgetful.
Yes, you know, I'm both. I'm so, but I'm at the age now where I have to write down when I go to grocery store. If it's not on my list, I don't buy it. I just don't. Now, what kind of a music influenced you guys? Because I heard that it's very rock. I like the sound of it. I like the feel. And like I said earlier, your voice does bring me back to the kind of late 90s, early 2000s rock. But who kind of influences all you guys?
I think Charlie's influence is a little different from myself and John. I grew up listening to like Metallica and like Megadeth and like the Foo Fighters and like all that kind of stuff. And I know you were kind of similar,
same,
right?
Yeah.
Charlie, what would you say? You listened to the Radiohead. Yes, the Radiohead and Incubus and all that.
Yeah, Radiohead, Incubus, David Bowie, Arcade Fire, Cage the Elephant. Those are like more of like the indie rock folks or like the weirder people who wear really tight pants but don't have high voices.
And right. They're not leather.
Well, now Will is an interesting one because Will, you're like a jazz guy.
I listen to a ton of jazz. Yeah. That's probably what I spend most of my time listening to, but I also love alt rock.
Yeah.
And you know, I like some alt rock groups from the early 2000s like Strokes, Weezer, you know, kind of that sound. I really like that too. I listen to everything though. I also like Motown.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I listen to classical music.
I love 90s rap. John loves 90s rap.
I fucking love disco. Yeah, I fucking love disco.
Speaking of hip hop, I know Charlie recently bought hip hop albums for inspiration. So I'm curious to know how that's going.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say though, like just like kind of like overall, like kind of holistically, like we're more of like a hard rock kind of centric, but like a lot of different kinds of music. Like Charlie's maybe more like indie alternative rock, like all kinds of music, and I'd say Will is probably like the most like
I think Will keeps his ground
as far as like tasting music. So it's kind of like we're all connected, like from whatever different angles there are. But then it builds out like a whole sound. Like we're not just like if we're all into hard rock, everything would sound that way. So it's like I think part of what gives it that sound is like everyone's bringing that like very unique set of influences with some overlap.
Yeah, see, I can understand the blues and the jazz or the jazz for you, Will, because you're a bassist. You kind of it shows that when you guys had that different styles of music, and that's why never still people like give you a hard time, like, oh, you like that? Of course, I like that.
Right.
Lyrically, the '90s rap really, really good. I remember listening to Tupac and Ice Cube, and I also got a little bit of '80s with the 2 Live Crew. And I mean, I love Scarface is one of my favorite rappers. I love listening to the lyrics and the stories that goes with that. And then you turn around and you got the blues and the jazz. I mean, I love the bass riffs and the R&B. I'm country as hell, but my band comes out of Southern rock, right? Because my bassist is into more like jazz, kind of like jazz. He's kind of like you. He plays saxophone in the band too. My drummer is into more like the Megadeth and the harder stuff, but I'm trying to tell him we don't have a double kick. Quit trying. And then recently, like I said, I've grew up listening to Hank Williams Jr., to the Eagles. That's kind of where my biggest influence came out of. I just love different styles. And I think it helps when a band comes together and they incorporate those different styles. It gives you your sound. Because, I mean, everybody knows Tennessee Whiskey. I'm going to use that example because we were talking about blues, made me think of it. You know, it went all the way back to David Allan Coe and the George Jones, but Chris Stapleton has brought it back. Well, if you listen to Etta James, I'd Rather Go Blind, you're going to hear what melody he took and what riff. If you guys ever heard that, you should listen to it. He basically took that melody and riff and put it to Tennessee Whiskey and made it what it is. Just different styles. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Yes. I definitely think that's like a super important thing for us as a band. And even more recently, like maybe like the first album, we kind of, I don't know, relied more on like that aspect of it, like what our individual sort of biases were for music. But like I'd say after that, and with everything, all of our like kind of individual influences, like the second album, we write the songs, like we still have all that in mind, but we're like all now, like you can feel that it's like coalescing around like the song. Versus like, I'm bringing the best of what I can to the song. Hopefully it fits the best and, you know, it sounds how it sounds. It's now like,
we're doing a service to the song. Yeah.
From that, from that place though, right?
I would also say that album one is mostly songs that John and Charlie had that were pre-existing.
That's true.
You know, so when Ross and I joined, they kind of had some ideas together already, most of which are on album one at this point. So.
Right.
There was room for creativity, but it wasn't as collaborative as the stuff we're working on now.
That's true.
Okay. That's also true. I was going to ask that. Who's more the songwriter? Do you guys all get together now and write together?
Yeah, we've come up, we kind of all brought different ideas to the table.
Yeah.
Charlie is probably the main guy here since he's writing most of the vocal melodies and some of the chord progressions. But John and I have come up with separate ideas and we kind of upload them to our shared folder where we can listen to them,
like that Google Drive,
which is excellent tool. Yeah,
it's great. I was gonna say too, and then like even more with the second album, like for Ross, like he's done tons of arranging too for some of the songs too. So like actually there was a song Fire Away that we used to play, like I mean it could have been on the first album around the time like we were playing it, just never, it didn't even work even for the first album.
Like, it was hot garbage.
Yeah, it was not really. It's a collection of riffs.
I just wanted to fix it. So I was like, look at how cool it could be.
And it's one of our most popular songs now. And like the amount of energy that comes out of that song when we play it too, it like feeds into the rest of the set, right? We get excited to play it now. Whereas before it was like, okay, like riff A, riff B.
Right.
That song sounded like five different songs in one song.
And I mean for album one, like, if someone came up to me and said, I have an idea for, you know, X drum pattern or whatever, I'd be like, nah, like stay in your lane, right? But for album two, it's more like, Will has this idea for this, I'll try that. I'm like, you know what, that's a great idea. Like that's, you can see the parts that you can't see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very collaborative in that effort. It's very nice.
I guess that maybe the most like succinct way to say all that is like the friendship is in the music.
Yeah, that's,
right? Whereas before we were all kind of just playing like to the, or as best we could, right, without kind of having all those experiences. But I mean, like all those gigs, we played what, 19 gigs in 2022?
Oh, I don't know.
25 total now, yeah. So like, I mean, all those experiences and like even Nashville too. I mean, I think for us, like going to Nashville was like a very formative like time where like, you know, we learned how to like really rely on each other. And I don't know, definitely been writing really good songs since then. So
yeah,
for real.
The album too is just, it's going to be awesome.
See? And that's what I love about bands. I know songwriters, and I've talked to this before on the podcast, I'm a big believer in co-writing. Bands, you kind of naturally come by because there's everybody's there, and no matter what they say, like I do majority of the writing, but they will start putting input in it. You know, my drummer Patrick's come up with two songs ideas that I would never come up with. That one was on our last album. Actually, we named the album after it. Called One Shot. It was about suicide because he had a friend who was shot in the military, was a sniper, and his best friend died in front of him. Came from the story. I would have never thought of that. And then his other one he came up with, you know, because I know for me, for the band, what I love is you sit down and just, after we get done practice doing our stuff, we sit down and a song idea would come to us. We'll just start playing around on a riff, chitting around, having fun, being a band, you know, nothing major. And then a song will come out of it. And that's what I love about the band, the camaraderie of writing songs. Even if you're not a writer per se, you can still input. Drums are huge, and a drum will make or break a song every time. Because I hear stuff that I write, when I hear the drum song too, it's like, oh, that sounds so much different and so much better with a drum pad. Now I know what I need to change. So you said the album, when's it coming out?
Actually, we're going to try to talk about that, I think, later today.
We'd like the first single or two to be out towards the end of the year in November or December.
Yeah.
With the album to follow probably midway in 2024.
Yeah, sometime probably like about a year past like our first album this year, Lost in Transmission, was like March 2023. So yeah, March 2024.
March.
We'll know more at two.
Yeah, April even.
I'll email you.
If you guys want to come back and do an album review the way we do them here, I don't critique. That's not how it works. Is I'm a songwriter. I love hearing the stories. So you tell me stories, we'll listen to the songs.
Sure. That would be sweet. We'd love that.
That's one of my favorite things that I do. That and Have You Heard with the band. We come out and we'll listen to music and try to stump each other. And I like your music, so you're probably going to hear it on Have You Heard. I'll do it with the band. Now, that nice. One, I would tell everybody we know how bands are. It's always explicit when bands get together. I don't mind. I have no problem with it.
It definitely is.
So we're going to do an actual, and you guys, I would like to have you on one day for it. I want to do it for shits and giggles to see how it works on Zoom. Is the Have You Heard, and we're going to do like a totally inappropriate version. So it's going to be like a lot of Wheeler Walker songs and just some dirty, funny ass songs. But
I'm so down.
I'm down.
Yeah. I'm so down. Charlie, how's it look? How's it sound to you?
I mean, I'm horrible at like music trivia. Like, I'm always the weakest link on the team. So, like, I'm worried that I'm just gonna slow down. I'm game.
Yeah, no, it's not trivia. It's basically, hey, have you heard this song? And then somebody that you know, a band, some kind of like, for example, Patrick did. He brought out who was it? It was Jim Nabors, right? He said, have you heard this song? Do you guys know who Jim Nabors is? You might be young, but you probably might know who he is.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
You ever heard of Gomer Pyle?
Oh yeah.
That's Jim Nabors. He has music released. So he'd bring like some Jim Nabors and he'd turn around and do like Megadeth, like a song by Megadeth. So it's just fun. You don't have to know trivia. You just have to play a song that maybe we hadn't heard, because a lot of people get influenced by, like, my favorite band is probably John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. Not a lot of people know that, but that's how Yes Man was styled after. So it's just stuff like that. It's fun.
Sounds good to us.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So let's do another one of your guys' songs. Which one do you want to do next?
Let's play the Jitters.
They think Jitters?
Yeah.
So what's the story behind Jitters?
Man, I'm getting shot in the foot here a bunch. Like, out of all the album songs, like, there are only a few that really don't have any story behind it. And this happens to be another one that does not have a story behind it. I think if anything, it was with like some of the lyrics channeling like the confusing and frustrating feelings you have with like a significant other who you kind of feel like jealous of and you don't really trust. And that kind of like sporadic, like multiple voices in your head giving you like conflicting feelings on everything in really short bursts. I think this is more like the manifestation of some of those.
But it's funny because like when we jammed musically on that song here, I wanted to do something different. And I know like your guitar part was like different, your bass part is different. Like,
it feels like
I felt confused. Yeah, yeah, like I literally was, I wanted to do something completely different. So yeah, it feels Charlie, it's good. All right, it works.
Yeah. it's about the Jitters.
We'll be right back.
I really like that. That bass groove, Will. That drives the whole song.
I make the set list, and it's just so entertaining to hear that. Thank you.
That song is definitely popular for sure.
That was fun. It's a fun feeling. I don't know what made me think of it when I first heard you guys playing. The Doors popped in my head. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
It does kind of sound like The Doors.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, it just did. See, I listen to so much music. I get all these bands and stuff thrown in there. But I love the bass groove. Are you guys doing the harmonies on it?
It's Charlie.
That one was actually Charlie, yeah.
But Will is doing them now, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Charlie, you were harmonizing yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when no one's looking, sometimes I harmonize myself, but rarely on camera but.
So you're e-harmony yourself? Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. He loves
auto harmony.
Like I said, I'm going to play your guys. I do like a New Music Monday. I'm going to start putting your guys' songs up there too. And I do the weekly top 10 countdown. Well, I don't know if you guys know what that is. We play all kinds of styles. Listen to other radio stations. It's a fan-based kind of vote thing. So once it goes up, you just get your fans to vote for it. I really like that song. I don't know if I do all your music because it's kind of hard for the other radio stations. For mine, it will go on the Georgia Songbird radio. I don't care. I love all kinds of styles. I remember Metallica. I loved Metallica. I listened to Pantera. You want to talk about In This Moment? I love those kind of bands.
Bless you.
Thank you.
So you guys,
yeah,
you got the album coming out, right? And what do you got going on? You got any places you're going to tour, or are you getting out of the state a little bit?
Yeah, so we're playing Crossroads again, that place we talked about before, on the 19th of November. We actually, when we were out at Warwick, we met the guy that did the sound. He has a studio up there, and he asked us if we would want to come up there and do some like live kind of just basically cut some content live, like at his place. But you know, we haven't live streamed yet. It's something that we really want to do. And we have, like, at this point, I think, like, between like Will's personal TikTok, like my personal TikTok, like the band's Instagram, and like even like his YouTube and our YouTube, I mean, we could stream to like 9,000-10,000 people we could invite. And we've never done one yet. And I know this platform is like the first one you do, like it really, you know, helps create like extra push for it. So we think like that's a great place where we can like drop our first live stream, have great sound, like invite thousands of people and like really try to start getting that going, like the engine on that in like the right way. But like that, and probably like, I mean, with some of these venues that are contacting us, like at this point, like our schedule kind of gets made for us, as opposed to like our first year. We chase down like, you know, we're chasing down like Will was saying, we're chasing down breweries.
We want to cut
because we like beer.
Yeah, so we have an offer too to cut vinyl of a couple songs, like some live cuts of a few songs. Like it's kind of an interesting thing. Like people pre-order it, and the way I understand it is they sort of hold on to these live performances in the event that like an artist gets big, and then they have this like kind of bootleg that's built into their. That's sort of what I've kind of put together, but it's like another thing that's just, you know, creating all that content for socials and for the internet is like a big thing too. So, and we look at it a lot with like shows and like live performances, but also things like live streams and going to studios and cutting like live cuts of our songs. You know, all of that together. It's a very different, like even from Charlie, like Stereo Police, like how you promote yourself now is like completely different. I mean, it's like, you know, we play these shows to 60, 70 people in person, and then we play them for 5,000 people on the internet. Really the biggest stage, yeah.
The TikTok stuff that people do, it's crazy. I mean, that's kind of where a lot of people get found now, and because they push it out. And I know that I have to learn, because I'm 46 years old, and I'm like, oh, I got to learn how to do this shit. Oh, really? I got to pay attention. But do you guys, you mentioned earlier, do you guys do covers of anything? Is it all originals?
We do
quite a few covers.
I have a cover challenge for you. You can take it or you don't have to, but I tell people, I give you a song and play it whenever you want to, and send me the video or audio or whatever, and I'll put it on TikTok, and we'll tag the artist. And as I'm sitting here thinking about songs, but do it your way. Don't do it like, anybody knows me knows I hate covers just because I can never do them justice to the point where it's going to sound like the original. I don't want to sound like the original. I want to sound like me. So I'm going to take a cover and I'm going to change it. Like I do Danzig Mother, and I tuned it way down. Well, I didn't tune it down, but I slowed it down and I made it nice. Sad. And I, that's what I'm going to do. So I'll think of a song for you guys here in a little bit. And there's no time limit. Just do it at your leisure whenever you can. And then send me the video or put it on TikTok and tag me, and I'll tag the artist. And maybe that's another way to get heard.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Challenge accepted.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No show tunes if we're allowed to make any requests.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Now I'm thinking, let's see, what's the greatest showman?
I don't, Charlie,
don't tell them the covers we already do.
Charlie's wife and my wife would be pretty pissed. So
I don't watch enough show tunes to even, the only show tune I would know is from Little Shop of Horrors. So if you can do Feed Me Seymour. Feed Me Seymour. I think of it. Now I got that song stuck in my head. So we're going to get one more song in from you guys, and then we'll do like a little 20 questions game. And while I'm listening to this last song, I'm going to think of a song. No show tuned. I won't give you a show tune, but I may get you something unusual. So I'm not going to change. And you know what? I open it up. I tell anybody, I ask my guest a question. I wouldn't ask you anything that I wouldn't do. So I tell people, you got to challenge me. I'll take it. A lady did this, and she gave me Winner Takes All by ABBA. And I'm like, I said, have you heard any of my music, really? So I took my guitar and tuned it down to C sharp and made it as dark and as sad as I could possibly think. And then that guy from American Idol came and did a great job. I was like, shit, now I'm screwed. But we'll do one more of your guys' song, and then we'll play a little 20 question kind of game, and I'll think of the song. What's the last song you want to share with everybody?
I'll do Cozy.
Charlie, which one?
Cozy or Part-Time. Charlie, pick one.
Someone have a story.
I would pick Cozy, because Cozy actually has a story behind it.
Okay.
A friend of the band is in the Army. He's been in for a long time, and he's deployed several times. Really unassuming, like, dude. He's not built like a soldier, but some of the stuff he's seen is like the craziest stuff. He's covered in tattoos. He has a tattoo that he woke up with on his private parts that he doesn't remember getting, which is a hilarious story if you ever get a chance to hear it. But he ran a targeting kill group in Iraq for a long time, and worked with a lot of like the really squirrely, like asymmetrical warfare dudes. And so this song was kind of written about him and kind of the repetition of being trained to do certain things, and then getting to the point of kind of welcoming whatever that end is going to be, should that end come to you in an untimely manner.
Well, I'm gonna mute us again, guys. Thumbs up on here. Cozy Underground, right?
Yep.
See me on the floor, look me in the eyes and say I'm useless. Put it in my hand, show me how to aim and how to lose it. Something says it's on its way. So give me on the home, kind of reinforcements we could use it. Better. Ooh.
throat, look me in the eyes and say I'm useless.
I get lost in your guys' music. I was like, oh, it's only short. What the hell? I was like, I'm ready for the rock solos. Like, I love, anybody knows me knows I love solos. And I've got like, I got a damn song that's almost 6 minutes. One's called The Wolves and one's called Murderer of Love. And they're both like rock solos. And I got like two solos in one. And I love like battles of stuff. So, I like your guys' music. It's very syncable. Have you guys ever heard that?
We've heard it's catchy. And yeah, catchy and melodic. Yeah. And not overdone, I guess. Like, right.
You're not Nickelback.
Right. Yeah. Or even like Metallica, right? Like
7 minute songs.
Yeah. Taking like 5 minutes, like 3 minute solos and like just like 2 minutes of the same riff. Just like, never forget this.
Right. Well, I mean, by syncable is like you could hear it being played like in shows and movies and stuff like that because it's, one, it's not like those long jams that I love. Like, you know, it's not an Almond Brother jam, but it's good. And it's, I don't know. There's just something about the sound of it that it would fit. It's got a feeling to it, which is what it's supposed to have.
I would say most of our songs kind of stay in that under 3 minute range, mm-hmm. but I actually just read an article recently that most artists are making their songs shorter these days just because of people's attention span. Yeah. And some songs are opening with the chorus just so you get that hook up to the listener right away. So it is good to have longer songs, especially if you're going to be jamming, soloing, but the shorter ones definitely catch people's attention because they're able to, you know.
It works in our favor. I guess it leaves you wanting more, so you end up just wanting to listen to it again, which I think has worked in our favor for a lot of our shows, because we have some requests that we can't not play this song now. So
right,
but I feel like album two we did like for this the They're songs longer. Are a bit longer. Yeah, like I'll take a bit longer solo. Like we'll do the riffs maybe a little bit longer before the vocals come in, or like we'll even have like sections where there isn't necessarily like you know, it's just some instrumentation. Like we kind of changed a bit of, but I'd say it's a little different. Actually, it's a lot different.
Yeah, it is a lot.
It's quite a bit different actually. But
I mean,
it's always playing to the song and not just making it longer just to make it longer. If that's makes sense.
We have not gone far enough though to take the approach of starting with the chorus yet. I know it was Nancy Reagan who said, "Don't bore us, give us the chorus." I think, but you know that's something that we are willing to experiment with at some point.
See, I know there's like certain ways that people want to write songs. Like there's a certain format for it, but I always love just whatever you feel in the music. I mean, I don't think it matters. I mean, I've got songs that are long and I've got songs that are shorter. I got songs that start on the right on the chorus. I got one called One Night With You. It's about a one night stand. But I when I get to people like playing live, I'm like, okay, this is a one night stand with a nun, just to see if they're paying attention. Right. I had a lady spit out of one time. I said that and she spit and it went all down her shirt. And I said, I swear, I promise you, I'm not that much of a heathen. But it does go to the fact that the way I grew up with the music, the Allman Brothers and the Eagles, there's those solos. There's those 8 minute songs that they'll play. And it's funny that you said short songs, because I think go back to TikTok and the reels and everybody wanting to watch these little 15 second, 30 second clips. I'm like, okay, I had two song ideas for you guys. I'm gonna let you choose, because my first thought was, because I mentioned the Doors, People Are Strange. So you guys could take that on and do it your way. Not worry about doing it like the Doors, but do it your way. And then
Doors. We do a Doors cover.
More Doors.
So yeah.
We could fit that in.
And Whipping Post, actually, for Allman Brothers. Sell them roast. We do the Whipping Post. We do Whipping Post. Yeah, it's another crowd favorite, I'd say, with Reptilia and all that.
Just to make sure the old people are still awake.
Right. I would be awake. Or you can do Ramble On by Led Zeppelin.
Hell yes.
Your choice, either one of those songs.
Charlie's scared of that one.
Dude, People Are Strange. Charlie, you could do People Are Strange like so well. Dude, the Jim Morrison one you do for Peace Frog is so good. Like we do, like Will was saying, we do Peace Frog also. Mm-hmm. And Charlie, like that poem in the middle, what is it like? Indians scattered on dawn's highway bleeding. Ghosts crowding.
Ghosts crowd the young child's fragile egg-filled mind.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, okay. No, but no. Yeah, that's my vote.
Yeah, no time limit. Do whatever you want to. And I picked Ramble On, Charlie, because of your voice. I think your voice would fit to it. Because I mean, obviously, you're not going to hit the Zeppelin note. I mean, you may can. I can't. I can't hit those notes. But I did it because of your voice. I think with your sound, your tone, and then you guys figuring out how you want to do like the melody and your sound, it would sound really good. We did a I hadn't put it out. We tried it. I did like a practice video. I placed it on there. You mentioned that earlier of Straight Up by Paul Abdul. And we took it and turned it into a blues song. I'm like, I really like the sound of this. I got to actually do it the right way now. But that's what made me think of it was your voice for Ramble On. And then the Doors, we mentioned the Doors. You had that sound. I was like, okay, well, let me think of it. I love People Are Strange. So, and that's not too, it's like an E minor song.
How family friendly or not family friendly is this podcast?
Fuck, I don't know.
Oh, there we go. Okay, perfect. Okay. I was gonna say I could try Ramble On, but somebody would need to punch me right in the sack first. And I could probably hit some of those notes. And I have a challenge song for you, Jesse.
All right, I'm writing it down now. What is it?
All right, so this is one that I'd floated to the guys before, and it went over like a fart in church. So this is now coming to you. I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston.
Oh shit. Okay. I Have Nothing.
I knew that was coming.
I knew it was coming,
Charlie. Man, like that one, it's such a brilliantly written song. Like not really my cup of tea for the most part, but I feel like there's a lot of room there for a cool rendition of that song.
Okay. Challenge accepted. I'm going to turn it into sad blues some kind of way. Well, I'll do it. Like I said, I don't ever ask something I won't ask. So before we get into the 20 questions, I got the wheel of death here. Tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, all that stuff.
Spotify, you can find us, Instagram, Facebook. John will have TikToks. What's the other thing we do?
TikTok, YouTube.
We have our own website, actually.
And everything is at Real Love Robots.
Yeah, at Real Love. The website is theloverobots.com.
Yep. Okay. And then all the socials are at Real Love Robots.
Yeah.
So Instagram, like Ross said, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, X.
Nobody's using X.
Ooh, what is that?
No. I tweet at our blog posts. That's all I do. Just to get more content. Just to have like more stuff out there, you know?
I know I got LinkedIn. Yeah. I don't think people use that anymore.
No, we do not have a LinkedIn page.
We have personal LinkedIn's though.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah. MySpace. I don't remember how to get into it though.
MySpace. Yes.
I found the Stereo Police are still on MySpace. The links don't work though.
Do you guys have like any merch or anything that you guys should
do? Yeah. So it's on theloverobots.com on our store page. Okay. We got some koozies and some shirts.
Stickers
coming
soon.
See, I like hats. I'm trying to get like a whole bunch of hats for.
I'm wearing a hat. Actually,
you got a Love Robots hat?
Yeah, that's for the limited. It's for the band members only.
Four in existence. Can
you
see it?
There you go.
Oh,
there. Okay.
Well, the beer's going everywhere.
Yeah. Now you like it at my studio. Beer's everywhere. All right. Well, I've had fun, guys. I love talking to bands. You guys are hilarious.
Same here, Jesse. Same here. We had a great time today.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'd love to come back. We'd love to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just yeah. you know how my schedule gets. Just reach out. We'll figure it out because I got my twins. I've got now. I've got Chorus. She's got my daughter wants to go into wrestling. My son wants is a scout. Plus, he wanted to do swimming. Plus, my niece, she does marching band. And then the stuff with my band and with the podcast and with I work a full-time job too. So it's like, okay, just reach out to me. We'll figure a date. I'll get you guys in for sure. Cause I've had fun.
Awesome.
Same here.
I get long-winded. So you guys, if you got to ever let me go, I should tell you this beginning. You should probably tell me early. That way I can like, okay, yeah, we'll cut it off.
In a case of beer over there.
Yeah, no, we're fine.
Whenever,
in case that doesn't do me no good. Unless we find a way to case of beer through Zoom. Are you guys ready for the wheel of death?
Oh yeah.
Do you have any phobias?
Yeah.
I hate cotton balls.
Really?
I shit you not. I cannot touch cotton balls. It freaks me out so bad, and like it sends a shiver down my spine, and it makes me nauseous.
you realize now you're probably gonna wake up, the band's gonna throw like
cotton
a bunch of cotton balls.
Oh, yeah. All on his guitar.
Yeah, great. Good job, Charlie. You just came up with a name for album too. Charlie can't touch cotton balls.
I'm gonna glue cotton balls to each of your picks. You have no choice.
For myself, I don't think any real phobias, nothing like you'd see on TV. I know there's that video circulating with the olives and that lady runs, but nothing like that.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I don't like eating in crowds.
Okay.
Freaks me out. Can't do it. Can't do it.
I don't like peeing in crowded bathrooms.
Oh,
I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone likes
it. Dude, if it's crowded though, like if it's crowded, I don't care how bad I have to pee. I could have 12 beers. I gotta pee. As soon as I see that's one urinal, it's crowded, I'm good.
That makes so much sense.
I'll go have another beer. I'm totally
fine.
That's
how you really get everything now for the past 2 years makes so much sense.
let me know when it's empty.
I'm the exact opposite. Like the more crowded, the better. I like the bathtubs you pee
into. Charlie, you can stop right there.
The pee trough.
Yeah, yes. The trough, exactly. Like, dude. I want them shoulder to shoulder, so I can only squeeze in with one shoulder and have to whip it sideways to get in there. Like the
busier. Those are cotton balls,
dude. In college, they have those. Like, they have those 8-person like urinals. I call them the Coctagon because it's like perfect.
Okay, that is my phobia. The Coctagon.
Everyone's facing each other.
Fuck that, bro. Yeah, fuck that.
See, now that's the title of your next album: Coctagon and Cotton Balls. There you go.
Dude, I like it. I actually legitimately like that.
See, mine is snakes. I hate snakes. I've had too many close issues with snakes. And then there was a movie. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Porky's. They put the snake up the toilet. And so there's just sitting on the toilet and the snake comes up between her legs. That is like a nightmare for me. I'm like, I'm always looking around. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Oh.
That feels like a very much like a recent statement on gender roles, that scene you just talked about.
Porky's is a movie from the 80s that was set in the 50s, and it was American Pie before American was pie. Have you guys ever seen Porky's?
No.
Yes,
I've heard of it.
Isn't there there's the glory hole scene at Porky's, right?
There's this Kim Cattrall kind of got started in there. She was in there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she was she howled. Oh man, it was hilarious. I can't let my kids watch it. They keep asking, like, no.
I was gonna say, you could not make that movie today.
No, you could not.
You cannot make that movie today. No way. No way.
What is a favorite or most memorable quote?
I feel like Charlie's gonna crush this one.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I will. I have one from my uncle, which just talks about confidence in decision making. And it was, he used to say, point north, declare it south, and march off confidently, which is just that, like, even if you're wrong, like, have confidence in and like conviction in whatever decision you're going to make and follow through on that. And I like that. And I'm wrong a lot, but act like I'm right. So I like that quote.
Just say no. It's not serving me well.
I'll do you one differently. I think it's I heard this somewhere and it stuck with me. It says it's pizza is like sex, okay? Or sex is like pizza. Bad pizza, good pizza, it's still pizza, so you should enjoy it.
To brace you out in hives or something, then you're in trouble.
That's true, but you just gotta send it. That's the other one, just send it.
I don't really have, I'm not a quote guy, so I don't have anything like top of mind, but you know, anything inspirational I like.
You're not too tall.
I'm 10 enough.
Every time he has to duck to get in somewhere, oh, it's okay.
No, luckily I can get through doors. I mean,
how tall are you, Will?
I'm 6'4".
6'4". There's a gentleman here in Georgia. His name is Jake Aaron Michael. Great singer-songwriter, great artist. He's 6'8".
Damn. Yeah, see, after like 6'5" and above, you really have a hard time like fitting in pants and airplanes, and it's just another inconvenience.
It's a good thing you only see him waist up right now.
Well, if you ever go to the Coctagon, you can just stand over.
No, I will never pee again. Hell no.
Here, hold this. What's the weirdest dream you've ever had?
Oh, dude. All right. Charlie, so no, I had one recently.
Just say it, because
yeah, no. Well, you know exactly what I'm going to tell you. Like, so I had a dream. I had a dream recently that I was in my old apartment, and I had a roommate, and it was this lady, and she had a pet rat, and the rat was like a cartoon rat. It looked like the one from Ice Age that's always trying to bury the acorn. It looked like that with two really long fangs in the front. And I come in, I'm like, oh, you got a new pet. And she's like, yeah. And so I'm like, well, what's his name? She goes, oh, he ugly. Like, cause his name was Ugly. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, can I pet him? And she goes, well, you can pet him, but he ain't friendly. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I like, didn't really want to pet him. And she's like, also, he likes to be choked. And I was like, what? And I look away and I look back and he was sitting next to me and his fangs were digging into my shoulder and I wanted him to stop. So I grabbed him and started choking him. And then the rat started going, yeah, as I was choking. And then I woke up. It was that's my weirdest dream.
We know Lord. What you were watching before.
Good Lord.
The Coctagon.
Jeez.
Anybody else want to try to top that?
I don't think mine can.
The weirdest dream you've ever had. I'd say for me, the weirdest dream I ever had was eighth grade. We had a graduation, and like the night before, I was just so, I don't know why, so nervous. So I fell asleep, started having this dream. I was in my science class. Someone comes in, they're like, hey, it's time to graduate. You know, got to go to graduation. Okay, so we all line up, store opens. It's a drawbridge that goes over this like big volcano, and like fire's shooting up. Like some kids are like getting hit by it, and they're like, ah! They're like faces like melting off. They fall. I'm like, I'm looking at the door closes. Like the next kid goes out. I'm like, oh fuck, how am I gonna do this? So the door opens. I'm standing at the threshold of it. I take like one step on it, and I feel a whole bridge start to move. Some fire comes up, and I wake up just like sweating, completely drenched my bed sheets.
Andrew, I'll never watch Shrek again.
Exactly.
Ever again. Ever again.
That's the craziest dream for me by far, hands down, like to this day. Craziest dream I've ever had.
I remember when I was, you ever had those dreams that you feel like it's real because you're doing yes. real things, right? So in my dream, I wake up and I go to the bathroom. And so when I go in the bathroom, turn on the light, my dad's in there and he's looking in the mirror. Daddy, what are you doing? He turns around and shoots me and I wake up.
Whoa.
And then I go to the bathroom and I'm like sticking my head around, turning the light on, making sure he's not there.
God damn.
That was probably one of the strangest dreams I could remember.
That's crazy,
oh my
man.
Word. I thought you were gonna say you walked in and there was a Coctagon.
No, I had an octopussy. Okay.
See? You'll never forget it. Coctagon. That's the quote to take with you, I tell you. You're welcome.
Yes, that is going to be sticking with me for the rest of my days. What's the wildest thing you've ever done?
Joining this band.
Yeah.
See, what's the love robot?
7 years?
Yeah, I know. I was about to say. Can we be prosecuted for these?
No.
Wildest thing. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe, Charlie, maybe blowing up those mailboxes in high school.
We didn't do that, but
yes, we did. Yes, we definitely did, Charlie.
We so John and I have known each other since we were 14. We were in our first band together, and we got into a handful of trouble. There were some police escapes back in the day, which we were very proud of because we knew the back roads really well, and like you could get away. But I'd say one of the crazier ones is one night I was driving John's car. I had just gotten a samurai sword, which, by the way, any parents listening, do not buy a samurai sword for your child in high school. Like, only bad things can come of this. So I just got a samurai sword, and John and I decided to drive around blasting Nirvana. John was hanging halfway out of the car, like basically at the waist, swinging the samurai sword around. And we went through a neighborhood that had all those little plastic dummies that say, like, with the flag to say slow down. And we were running through, and John was making kebabs out of seeing how many he could stick the sword through. And we were like driving down the street with all of them on the samurai sword. I feel like we could have gotten in pretty big trouble for that one too.
Oh man, high school is a flurry of bad choices.
That's wild.
A flurry of bad choices. Dude, yeah. The party too. Oh my gosh. The story with the party that we broke up.
That made me forget the question. Like, I'm like, crazy I'm like, story. I'm like, first of all, who the fuck buys a child a samurai sword? I've met their parents.
I feel like it's, for high schoolers, that kind of thing is common. Someone who is not me was in a car with their friend, and they were shooting a paintball gun at cars and at houses and at speed limit signs.
Nice.
I may or may not have been driving.
I may or may not have been
driving. What? I mean, I'd say the wildest thing, or is that the wildest thing we've done?
No, I'm just thinking back to some stupid
just
things.
Stupid stuff. Oh, well, I mean, I took down a whole frat house, so, and I won. Like, it was literally like, just like, fuck, beating the shit out of people. So, I mean, I don't know. That's pretty
fits.
Wild.
I mean, that fits. So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Like, I'm still shocked about the samurai sword. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
I still have it here. It's literally right now.
Well, you should sell it. You have a child now.
Charlie, do you remember the day though? I'll never forget the day you were like, dude, I can cut this tree down. Do you remember that? And you went out back with that one tree, dude. You hacked at that one spot. And then I remember like 30 minutes into it, we like took the sword out and we like looked at it and like the blade had like curved back.
Oh my
god. And it was like, we were like basically hitting it with like a rounded little spot.
Yeah, we were not that as sword. Cool as all of the anime we were watching back then. Jesse, now I think we need to know what yours is, like, with this question.
Let me think. I'm gonna try to hear. I did anything horrible. I do remember being stupid, and I decided that I wanted to. Me and my friend came up here to the house. We live on top of a mountainside. And we got stuck up here because it snowed and our driveway goes straight down. So it's ice. So we decided that we were going to go ice skating down my driveway, which is tennis shoes. Cause I don't have skates. I'm in Georgia. We don't have get snow like that. So I remember doing that. And we went down and I fell and I hit my head. And Donald, my friend, he came out and said, Jesse, I said, what? He says, you okay? I was like, yeah. He said, I've been calling you for 5 minutes. I knocked myself out. And I was down so long. I got frozen to the ground.
Oh my god.
And he had to pull me off. So when I got up to the house, I ended up sticking my ass up against the kerosene heater to thaw out because I'd frozen. That's just one of the many stories that I remember. I know one of the recent ones because I'm 46 years old. I'm a big into like stunts, and I wanted to be a stuntman when I grew up. I thought about like being a stuntman or riding bulls. So I like the adrenaline and stuff. Well, I decided to take my 16-foot ladder. It's like, hey, I can jump from my ladder to the trampoline and I land okay. And this is when I first got married to my second wife, to Diana. She's military. So she said, what are you doing? I was like, I'm gonna make it. She said, what are you doing? I make it. Watch. So I jump and I couldn't turn fast enough. So I couldn't get in my back. Cause if all I do is get my back and I'd be fine, but I couldn't get twisted. So I landed on my side and knocked myself out. She goes, you're too old to be doing stupid shit. You need to stop.
That's the
last thing. I did have my kids. I did hold the ladder and let them jump into the pool from the ladder though. Nice. They had a blast. They were like three. She said, what are you doing? I said, they got life jackets. They'll pop right back up. I've had fun, guys. This has been fun.
Same.
We really enjoyed it.
So I will in the conversation. We'll talk about off air too, but I'll end the conversation with this. Always like to ask one more question to kind of help other songwriters, because this is a podcast to get to know you guys and to help other songwriters that maybe are following your path. So, what's the best advice that you've ever received? Now's the time to share your wisdom.
From a music perspective, I would say just. You know, if you write a song and, you know, you're worried about what people might think, just put it out there. It doesn't matter. As long as you're enjoying it and you're proud of what you've done, I think that's what's really important.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for me, like, I think Ross and I were talking about this the other day once. It's just like consistently just putting one foot in front of the other. Like, it doesn't matter if it's like a small thing each day, like just something each day, even if that's three more people that are listening to our music. That's great. And I feel like if you keep that attitude and you don't like, I need 1,000 fans. No, you don't. You just need one. You just need one more person today that's listening to your music that likes it, that has an effect on them. If you do that every day, then after a year or 2 years or three, an unknown period of time, you'll have a lot of people listening and you'll be making like an impact on people.
And don't be afraid to share that music with other musicians that could help you build upon your success or just enjoy your product with you.
I would say always make sure your mic is plugged in. But the other piece of advice is just like, I know that this is for me personally, is if you keep like sitting there waiting, thinking like, oh yeah, one of these days I'm going to have more time to like put in for my music and like do my writing, do my recording, go out and playing, like that is a really slippery slope. And unless you, if it's something that you love, unless you take the time and like you're intentional about carving that time out to do your music, like time is just going to keep flying by and you're not going to end up doing it. And for all of us who work full-time jobs and have families, like it's really crucial to take the time to do the music. And if you do, it's totally worth it. But stay out of that dangerous, you know, tango you do with yourself, convincing yourself that like, oh yeah, I'm going to have more time, because you won't if you're not trying.
Yeah.
See, now I like to have like inspirational quotes, or just I make like little sticky notes and I'll stick on my mirror so that I will remember. And my wife saw me do this and I put one for hers. But the one thing that I put up there, and I'll ask you guys this too as an extra question, is just kind of finish this question. When?
Now. Right now. Yeah.
Right.
After dinner.
After.
After pizza.
After I take a nap.
See, it's always like, when will I make this? When will I do it? It's that one word has so much meaning, because.
Yes, it does.
You know, you inside, everybody knows what they do wrong. So when am I going to start eating better? When am I going to love the neighbor? When am I going to, whatever it is, when am I going to do it? You know, and then on hers, I gave her, cause she has like multitasking, she gets overwhelmed. So I put start with one, right? Just start with one thing, start with one song, one lyric, one problem at a time, fix that. And then you move on.
Exactly.
I would probably put "you sure?" question mark on a post-it note and put that on the mirror for people in my house.
Now you're gonna, next time they're gonna put, you have cotton balls gonna be all around your mirror. They're gonna come and mess with you now. Again, thank you guys for coming on. This was so much fun. Tell everybody one more time where they can find you, and I'll talk to you a little bit off air, but go ahead. This floor is yours.
Absolutely. Yeah, so at Real Love Robots, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, theloverobots.com. You can see our full gig schedule, all our music. You can
media
see our
coverage, photos.
Yeah, photos. Whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
The world is yours.
Yeah.
Plus our online store. Yes, plus our, yes, buy a shirt, please.
All right, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbirds, and that was the Love Robots. Thank you, guys.